He meets Amr ibn As. For those who know Islamic history, Amr ibn As was the think tank of the Quraysh. And Khalid ibn Walid was their soldier. And Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he reaches Medina. And he comes off his horse. And he says, I saw the Messenger of Allah sitting in a distance. And when the Messenger of Allah saw me, he lifted his head. What would me and you have said? We would have said, Khalid, you, the one, the son of Walid ibn Mughira, the one who was the cause of 70 of my Sahaba being martyred on the Battle of Uhud, my uncle's body being mutilated, you the one who wanted to kill me at Khandaq, you the one who wanted to kill me at Hudaybiyah, the arch enemy of Islam, how dare you come to us? Well, what did the Messenger of Allah say? He was rahmatan lil alameen. What did he say? He says, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu says that when the Messenger of Allah saw me, he lifted his head and he began to smile.
Allah.
And he carried on smiling until I reached him and I placed my hand in his hand. And then he embraced Islam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today Makkah has thrown away his liver. These were the cream of the crop of Makkah. Today Makkah has thrown away its liver. And then the Messenger of Allah utilized him. 6 months after this, you had the battle of Mauta. Amazing battle. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man, the general who will be in charge will be Zayd ibn Harith. And if Zayd ibn Harith passes away, then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And if Ja'far ibn Abi Talib passes away, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha. And if Abdullah ibn Rawaha is martyred, then you choose a man from amongst you. And they go and they reach a place called Ma'an. And when they reach Ma'an, the Muslims were 3,000 in number. The enemy numbers, most conservative opinion, were that they were at least 10 times their size. At least. And the Muslims say, let's write a letter to the Messenger of Allah and ask him for his opinion. And Abdullah ibn Rawaha said, oh, believers, the thing that you are running away from is the thing that you desire. Martyrdom. Go and fight. You will get one of things, two things. Either you will be martyred or you will get victory. And so they go to a place called Mauta. And the battle starts. And Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu is martyred. And then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib takes the flag. And he's got it in his hand, and one hand is cut off, and then takes in the other hand, and the other hand is cut off, and then he takes it between, he places it on his chest with his arms, and then he's pierced in the chest and he's martyred. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha takes it, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu is martyred. And then Thabit bin Akram, the Badri Sahabi, picks it up, and he looks around him, and his eyes fall on Khalid bin Walid. And he said, oh Khalid, take the flag. And Khalid radiallahu anhu says, he said, oh Thabit, you are Badri Sahabi. You are more deserving. You take the flag. And Thabit insists that Khalid take the flag. And everybody agrees that Khalid take the flag. Khalid radiallahu anhu takes the flag. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu says, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. He said, and then after saying this, Khalid shouts to the Muslims. He says, the doors of Jannah have been flung open. And then Khalid, and the battle starts. And the battle goes on to evening, but the Muslims had great losses on that day. So what Khalid radiallahu anhu does under the darkness of night is that he places the left flank on the right flank, the front on the back and the back on the front. And then he sends one regiment to go behind a mountain. He sends another regiment to go in a far distance and make dust fly up. And then he gives them all new flags. So in the morning, when the army lines up, the mushrikeen see new faces. They see new flags. And what they think is that the Muslims have had reinforcements. And they began to think that we have found it very difficult to fight these people yesterday, and there was a handful of them, and now they got new reinforcements. And then the regiment that he told to hide behind the mountain, they come out and they join the army. So now they are sure that they've got reinforcements. And then in the distance, he made the other regiment make dust fly. So in the distance, they see dust flying and they think there's more reinforcements coming. And whilst this is taking place, Khalid bin radiallahu anhu commands his army to attack. And they attack. And on that day, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, I broke 9 swords.
Oh.
9 swords. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu moved his army back and they went back to Medina. And the Messenger of Allah is 600 miles away in Medina. And he's sitting with the Sahaba in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ says, the battle has started. Zayd ibn Haris has been martyred. And then the eyes of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ begin to flow. Then he said, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib has been martyred. And then he said, by Allah, I saw Ja'far ibn Abi Talib flying in Jannah with the angels, and Allah had changed his arms into wings. And then he said, Abdullah ibn Rawah has been martyred. And then he says, now. Then he said, Khalid ibn Walid has taken the flag. And he said, أَخَذَهُ صَيْفٌ مِنْ سِيُفِ اللَّهِ. One of the swords from the sword of Allah has taken it. And this was when the Khalid ibn Walid was given the title of the sword of Allah. And look at the words of the Messenger of Allah. The Messenger of Allah said, now the battle has begun to rage. And then from Adu Allah, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu becomes Saifullah in a period of 6 months. Within a period of 6 months. And then there's a bit more history which goes on after this. At Fateh Makkah, Khalid ibn Walid was intrinsic in Fateh Makkah. The Muslims came from four or five different ways. The only place, Khalid ibn Walid came from the back. He was the only person who had resistance. And he broke the resistance. And then after the demise of Khalid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, how long have I been going on for?
Feels like 10 minutes.
We people are India time, yeah? 45. After the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had no intention of sheathing the sword of Allah. What happened, briefly, what happened after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Many new prophets propped up. What people realized that the Messenger of Allah in a period of 23 years became the ruler and the leader of the Arabs. So you had many different prophets propping up. There were two main ones, well, there were a few, but the first one was from the Bani Asad, his name was Tulayha. Now Tulayha was a great ardent enemy of Islam. At the Battle of Uhud, when he heard that the Muslims had been defeated, he came with 150 men to finish off the Muslims. And the Messenger of Allah sent 50 men, which repelled him. Then on Khandaq, he was with the Confederates. And even at Khaybar, he sided with the Jews. Then in the ninth year of Hijrah, he embraced Islam with his tribe. Before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he claimed prophethood. And much of his tribe followed him. So what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did is that he sent Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu to deal with him. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu goes and they meet in a place called Buzakha. They meet in a place called Buzakha. When they reach there, Tulayha's army is far bigger than the Muslim army. So what Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu does, he comes out and he demoralizes the army. He has one duel, he defeats one person, then another duel and another duel until he psychologically demoralizes their army. Now then he says, I want to speak to Tulayha. Now what Tulayha would do, he was in his tent and he would put a cloth over his head and he would say that the angels come down to me when I have my cloth over my head. One day he was at home and he put a cloth over his head waiting for the angel Jibreel to come down. And his wife thought that it was one of the workers hiding, didn't want to work. So she took a stick, she hit him over the head. And he removed the cloth and he said, wretched woman, Jibreel was just about to descend upon me. So his real name was Talha, but the Muslim named him Tulayha, which obviously Tulayha is the Sagheer. You can either do it for mocking somebody or compassion. If his was done for obviously mocking. So Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said, I want Tulayha. Tulayha wouldn't come out. So the battle started. The Muslims were far smaller in number than the enemy. The battle starts. The apostates had a man called Uyayna bin Hisna as the main general. So the Muslims attack and then knock the apostates back. So Uyayna goes to the tent of Tulayha and he says, oh, Messenger of Allah, as the angel Jibreel descended, he said, go back, sabr, he'll come. So then Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu attacks again and knocks back again. Again he runs to the tent. So Messenger of Allah, Jibreel, as he had descended, said he will descend. And then third time Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu army attacked, they knocked the enemy far back. And Uyayna runs to the tent. When he reaches the tent, He sees Tulayha jumping on his horse with his wife on the back. And he says, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, has Jibreel descended?" He said, "Yes, Jibreel just descended." He said, "What did he say?" He said, "This is a day that you will never forget. And how can you forget the day that you meet the sword of Allah?" But the amazing thing was, Tulayha was a mighty warrior. For anybody who studies Islamic history, in the Battle of Qadisiyah, he fought with so much bravery, became a Muslim. He fought with so much bravery that Umar radiallahu anhu sent him presents and gifts from Medina. And he was martyred on the Battle of Nahwand. From calling himself a prophet, he was martyred in the path of Allah. Then you had Abu Sharja, you had Malik ibn Nawayra, you had some other people. But the other main prophet, false prophet, was a man called Musaylamatul Qaddab. He was from the Bani Hanifa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once saw a dream that there are two gold bangles and he blows them. And one goes to Najd and the other one goes to Yemen. Yemen was Aswad al-Ansi and the one that goes to Najd was Musaylamah al-Kadhab, meaning that two false prophets would come to from these places. He belonged to the tribe of Bani Hanifa. Bani Hanifa was a huge tribe. He had already defeated the armies of Ikrimah and Sharahbil, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu there. The amazing part of this story is this. There was a man called Nahr Rijal. And Nahr Rijal was a man who embraced, he was from the Bani Hanifa, he embraced Islam, he remained in the company of the Messenger of Allah, he became a hafiz of the Quran. He learned from Ubay ibn Ka'b. One day the Messenger of Allah said, Abu Huraira and some other Sahaba were there, he said, "One of you will die on kufr." And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "All the rest died, only me and Nahr were alive." And he said, "All the time I was concerned about myself." When the fitna of Musaylimah started, the Messenger of Allah thought that there was nobody better than Nahr. So he sent Nahr to go to Musaylimah. He goes to Musaylimah, he reaches the Bani Hanifa. When he reaches the Bani Hanifa, Musaylimah says to Nahr, he says, "I will give you half of the wealth that I earn." And he agrees. He agrees. And then he apostates, a man who was a hafiz, who remained in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, you had another man from the Bani Hanifa called Thumama bin Uthal. Thumama bin Uthal radiallahu anhu came to Medina with the intention of killing the Messenger of Allah. Umar ibn Khattab saw him. Umar saw him with his sword dangling. He came up to him. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to kill the Messenger. I'm going to kill Muhammad." Out of all the people in Medina, he bumps into Umar ibn Khattab. Umar radiallahu anhu grips him up, gives him a few backhanders, and drags him to the masjid and ties him to one of the posts. And then he calls the Messenger of Allah. And Umar radiallahu anhu is standing there with his sword drawn. And the Messenger of Allah comes in to the masjid, and Umar radiallahu anhu is waiting for the command. He's waiting for the command. And the Messenger of Allah enters the masjid and he looks at Thumama and he looks at Umar and he says, "Has anybody fed this man?"
Allah.
And the sword falls from the hand of Umar ibn Khattab. And then he told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to go to his house and milk his blessed goat. And he brings the milk and the Messenger of Allah gives it to Thumama. And then the Messenger of Allah presents Islam to him. And he refuses. For 3 days the Messenger of Allah presents Islam upon him. He refuses. Upon the third day the Messenger of Allah says, "You can go." And Thumama goes. He goes to the outskirts of Medina. And then he returns. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in the masjid. And he enters the masjid and he sees the Messenger of Allah. And he stands in front of the Messenger of Allah. And he says, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And you are his messenger." And the Messenger of Allah said, "Oh Thumama, why didn't you embrace Islam when I presented you Islam?" And Thumama says, "Because, oh Messenger of Allah, people would have said that Thumama embraced Islam because of the fear of death. Now people will know that Thumama embraced Islam because of the fear of Allah." Because of the fear of Allah. And Thumama did not rebel. He didn't join the Bani Hanifa. He joined the Muslims. He was in the Muslim ranks. Subhanallah. One man learned Quran with the Messenger of Allah and Ubay ibn Ka'b becomes a murtad. The other man leaves his home to kill the Messenger of Allah. And he doesn't rebel. And there was... And when Nahr came, Musaylimah asked him, he said, "Tell me, what does Muhammad do?" So he said, you know what Muhammad does? He takes his saliva and he places it into a well for barakah, and the water of the well becomes sweet. So Musaylimah goes and he spits into a well and the water becomes bitter. He says, Muhammad, he takes a date and he does tahniq for the children for barakah. So Musaylimah takes a date and he does tahniq, and the narration mentioned that all the children that he did tahniq to, none of them had teeth. He said, they say that the Prophet ﷺ would rub his hand over the head of young children. Nahar is telling him all this. So they say that Musaylimah would rub his hand over the head of children and they would have no hair. One day, he met Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu and he said, tell me some of the narrations and the verses of the Quran which reveal on Muhammad. So he reads to him, Wal Asr, innal insana lafi khusr. And Musaylimah sits there and he begins to think. Then he said, one revelation has just descended upon me. And it's like Surah Al-Fil. He said, Al-Fil, wa mal-fil, wa ma adraka mal-fil, khartumuhu tawil, wa dhanbu qasir. He said, elephant, what do you know? What will tell you what an elephant is? Its trunk is long and its tail is short. And many of the Bani Hanifa knew that he wasn't a true prophet. But they would say, we prefer a prophet from Bani Hanifa than a prophet from Quraysh. SubhanAllah, you know, this is the thing about Asabiyah. Asabiyah blinds many people. You look at the Jews. The Jews were in Medina for a reason. They were waiting for the final prophet. But when the message of Allah didn't come from them, the asabiyah kicked in, the racism kicked in, the hasad kicked in, and they didn't embrace Islam. They preferred eternal doom rather than to follow a man who was not from them. We follow people because of haqq. It's got nothing to do with the color of their skin, nothing to do where they come from. We follow the truth. And this is why the message of Allah taught us beautiful dua. Oh Allah, show us truth as truth is. And show us batil as batil is. And allow us to follow truth. And allow us to keep away from batil. These were the du'as that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed. So the battle starts. So Khalid bin Walid comes with 17,000 men. In some narration 14,000 men. And Musaylimah has an army of 40,000. And the battle starts. And Khalid bin Walid starts a duel. He defeats one person, he defeats two people, he defeats three people, until nobody from the army of Musaylimah wants to duel. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says that allow me to have a dialogue with Musaylimah. So Musaylimah comes forward. And the Prophet sallallahu said, when Musaylimah cocks his head like this means that Shaitan is speaking to him. So Khalid bin Walid begins to speak to him. And Musaylimah makes sure that he keeps a distance from Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And they begin to speak, and then Musaylimah cocks his head like this. And the Khalid bin Walid is waiting for his opportunity. And he gets his opportunity and he runs at Musaylimah. And Musaylimah manages to get away, but that's all Khalid bin Walid wanted to do. He wanted to demoralize them that their prophet is running away. And then he gives the command for the attack. And the battle of Yamamah is an amazing battle. We don't have time. Finally, eventually what happens is that the apostates manage to go into a garden which is known as Hadiqatul Maut, the garden of death. They lock themselves in. In some narrations is Abu Dajana. In other narrations is Bara ibn Malik. He says, throw me over. And they said, it's suicide. And Bara ibn Malik says, throw me over. So they take Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and they throw him over the wall. And he managed to fight his way and open the gate. And the Muslims begin to push. And slowly, they get closer and closer. And they manage to get into the garden. And then they get close to Musaylimah. There were three people who were close to Musaylimah. Wahshi, Abu Dujana, and Umm Umara. Umm Umara, radiallahu anha, was that woman on the Battle of Uhud. The Messenger of Allah said, wherever I looked, I saw Umm Umara. She defended the Messenger of Allah. He said, I looked right, I saw Umm Umara. I looked left, I saw Umm Umara. I looked in front of me, I saw Umm Umara. Umm Umara's son was known as Habib. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent Habib with a letter to Musaylimah. So Musaylimah, when he read the letter of the Messenger of Allah, he got angry. And he called Habib and he said, do you believe in the Messenger of Allah? And he said, yes. He said, what do you say about me? Am I the messenger of Allah? And Habib said, I can't hear. I can't hear. So then the narration mentioned that he began to slowly chop Habib up. And he would say to him, do you believe in Muhammad to be the messenger of Allah? And he was, yes. He said, what do you say about me? He said, I can't hear. Until he martyred Habib radiallahu anhu. And on that day, three people are close to him. And Wahshi says, I was watching for opportunity to throw my lance. And I got my opportunity. And he threw his lance. It hit Musaylimah in the stomach. And then Abu Dujana finished him off. And Abu Dujana was also martyred here at the Battle of Yamama. And Wahshi radiallahu anhu would say, in my Jahiliyyah, I killed the best of people, meaning Hamza radiallahu anhu. And in my Islam, I killed the worst of people, Musaylimah. And this is how the battles are known as the Battle of the Apostate, the Battle of the Murtadeen. There's a lot more detail here. This is how in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu managed to finish them. Straight after this, subhanAllah. Khalid bin Walid, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu writes a letter to Khalid bin Walid. He says, now go and deal with the superpower of the day, the Persians. And he says also in the letter, he says, those amongst your men who want to go home, allow them to go home. Because they fought many battles. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so Khalid bin Walid reads the letter and he says, whoever wants to go, they can go. They can go. Out of his 13,000 men, 11,000 men decide to go home. They're tired of fighting. So he writes a letter back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, you want me to face the superpower of the day? And I've only got 2,000 men. And the narrator reaches Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He opens it. The Sahaba are sitting in front of him. And he looks around. And he says, Qaqa, you go. Qaqa ibn Amr, you go. And the Sahaba said, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? You're sending one man for 11,000 men? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the ranks which have the likes of Qaqa ibn Amr will never be forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men of substance. But by the time he reaches the superpower, the Persian, he has a large army with him, around about 17,000 in some region. They go to a place called Qadima. In a place of Qadima, there's the enemy, the Persians. The Persian leader was a man called Hurmud. Now, in the Persian army, the highest status that you could have is you have a cap of 100,000 dirhams. 100,000 dirhams. Now, Hurmuz he had a cap of 100,000 dirhams. He had a cap of 100,000 dirhams. So, and Hurmuz was known. You know, Hurmuz had attacked India twice. He was known, there was a darb al-mathal. You know, he was an evil tyrant. They would say, if a person was evil, they would say, huwa akhbath min Hurmuz. He's a bigger khabis than Hurmuz. They would say, huwa akfar min Hurmuz. He's a bigger kafir than Hurmuz. He was known to be evil, but he was a mighty warrior. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu comes, he comes with a far smaller army. They go to Qadima, and that's where the Persian army is. So they come close to Qadima, and then the Muslims all of a sudden go north towards Hufayr. They go north. So Hufayr was a very strategic place. So what the Persians do is they go north and they take over the Muslims to get to Hufayr before the Muslims do. Now Khalid bin Walid is doing this purposely. The reason is because the Muslims move very light. Whilst the Persian army moves very heavy. Every soldier would have a metal armor, he would have a helmet, he would have greaves on his legs, he would have three bows, he would have 30 arrows, he would have a mace, he would have a sword. The Muslims moved very light. Soon as they reached Hufayr, Khalid bin Walid decided to come back down to Qadima. So they turn and they overtake the Muslims. And when they reach Qadima, they are shattered. And Khalid bin Walid lines his army up for battle. And some of the people said, oh Khalid, there's no water where we are stationed. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, he said, water is for those who are deserving of it. And the narration mentioned, no sooner had he said this, the heavens opened up and it began to rain. And then the battle was about to start and Hurmuz called out Khalid for a duel. And Hurmuz had heard about Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And he had strategically placed a number of men. And he said, when I indicate to you, you come out. So they start the duel, the sword. And then Hurmuz throws away the sword and they said, let's wrestle. And Khalid was always ready. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, they began to wrestle, and he grabbed Khalid in a bear hug. And then he indicates towards his men, and the men come out. And there was one Muslim on the Muslim ranch who read all this. Who? Qaqa ibn Amr. Qaqa ibn Amr had already gathered a group of men. When his men came out, they tried to hit Khalid bin Walid. And Khalid would move Hurmuz in his way. And by that time, Qaqa had reached, they finished off the men, and then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu finished off Hurmuz. They won that battle. Then came the next battle, and the next battle. These were the superpowers. You understand? This was the most mightiest army in the world. There was a superpower with a super general. The next one, a man called Anush Jan came. And Anush Jan came out and he said, where's Khalid bin Walid? Is he ready to fight me? If he is a man, let him come out. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu comes out and he says to Anush Jan, he said, you're full of yourself. He said, why shouldn't I be? Why shouldn't I be? For I am known amongst the Persians to be the bravest from amongst them and the best warrior from amongst them. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, it's also important for brave people to be intelligent. He said, I'm known for my intelligence as well. Then Khalid radiallahu anhu said, if you're an intelligent man, then tell me, how do you worship fire? How do you worship fire? So he said to Khalid bin Walid, he said, listen, I haven't come here for a debate. I haven't come for a theological debate. That's what Ahmad Didat used to do. So look at, listen to the words of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Khalid bin Walid said to him, it was an obligation for me to convey the message so that you don't say on the day of judgment that the message was not conveyed to you. Even in the battlefield, the dawah goes on. And then they begin to duel. And Anush Jan, he strikes Khalid. Khalid blocks him the sword and his sword breaks. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu throws his sword away. And Anush Jan thinks it's game over. He moves to strike Khalid. Khalid takes out his lance and he pierces it. Game over here. The general of this battle, now I'm going to make it short because I want to go on to the next. The general of this battle was a man called Qarin. He also had a hat of 100,000. Also 100,000. Basically, battle of Walaja, Firoz, and all the battle, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu decimated the Persian army. Battle after battle, until the Persians would say, we will fight anybody besides Khalid bin Walid. When Khalid bin Walid went to Dawmatul Jandal, the Persian thought that he was going back to Medina, and they gathered a huge army to go and fight the Muslims. Then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came back and he defeated their army. The final battle really between, well, one of the major battle between the Persian and the Muslim is the Battle of Qadisiyah. By that time, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was kind of demoted. He was in Sham at that time, and then shortly after, he was demoted. And much of the credit is given to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was the general. But the reality is, the man who destroyed the foundations of the Persian superpower was no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Battle after battle, he defeated them. What happened after this, after a number of battles with the Persians, he kept on defeating them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wrote him a letter. He said, I've sent small expeditions into Sham where the Byzantines were, and the Byzantines have gathered a huge army, and they've said that we will show Abu Bakr for coming into our lands. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, La ushbiyanna wa sawis arum bi Khalid. He said, I will repel, I will cure the insidious whispers that the Persians are having through Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So he writes a letter to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He says, hurry, now he's in Iraq at this moment, he said, hurry to Sham. So he opens a letter, he reads his letter, hurry to Sham. And the Sahaba are sitting there. So he says, what are the best ways, quickest ways to Sham? So they said, there's two ways. And one way that you go north, which is a long way, and the other one is that you go south, but there are some Roman garrisons on the way and they may block you and they may take up time. So you say, is there any other path which is quicker than this? They say, there's one more path. There's a Sahabi there called Rafi bin Umair. He said, there's one more path. And that is 120 miles without any water. For a single person, it's difficult. For an army, it's suicidal. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, that's the path we're going to take. And they said, what are you doing? And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, he said, the help of Allah descends upon people's resolves. If you have a resolve, you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Khalid was like. Wallahi, his trust in Allah was amazing. And whilst they were fighting the Persians, the center of the Christians in Iraq who were under the Persians was a place called Hira. When they reached Hira, there was a prince who ruled Hira, a man called Abdul Masih. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and him began to discuss something. And when they discussed, Khalid realized that this old man was a very, very intelligent man. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu saw that this man had a small pouch. And Khalid radiallahu anhu said, what's that pouch? He said, this is poison. It takes effect in a moment. He said, all my life I have been an honorable man. If you try to humiliate me today, I have taken that oath that I will drink this. Khalid says, give it to me. He takes the poison and he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, nothing in the heavens and the earth can harm you when you take the name of Allah. And he drinks it. Allah. He drinks it. And Abdul Masih looks at him and he's astonished. And he goes back and he says to the people, he said, open your gates, for by Allah nothing can stop these people. Allah. It's very interesting, something happened here at Hira. When they took Hira, many years before this, they're sitting in Medina, the Messenger of Allah is sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he's saying that one day we will take Hira. And there's a Sahabi there, a Bedouin Sahabi called Suhail. Very simple Sahabi. And Suhail says, oh Messenger of Allah, when we take Hira, can I have Kirama, the daughter of Abdul Masih? Kirama was the most beautiful woman in the Arab Peninsula. You know, in those days, you did not have poetry would be written about her. She was known for a beauty, no TV station. Everybody knew about Kirama. And the Messenger of Allah said, she will be yours. So they take Hira, and Suhail comes to Khalid bin Walid, and he says, oh Khalid, the Messenger of Allah promised me Kirama. Khalid looks at Suhail, he's at the Bedouin Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, and he can't believe it. He said, where's your dalil? Where's your witnesses? So he brings two witnesses. So when they write the treaty, they say, we also want Kirama. Kirama is a princess, the most beautiful amongst the Arabs. So they put this in the treaty. All night you guys have not been listening so attentively. The alum's not changed, mashallah. So they write this in the treaty. So the women in the house of Abdul Masih are up in arms. Kirama, princess, is going to go to a Bedouin. So she said, don't worry, I'll deal with him. So she comes. She comes there now. Suhail is excited. And she enters the room. And she removes her veil. And there's an old woman, wrinkled face, standing in front of Suhail. Suhail's jaw drops. And she says, fool, do you think beauty is eternal? So those stories were decades ago. So she says to him, now what are you going to do with an old lady like me? Let me go. He said, no, no, no. I will not let you go until I make you pay through your nose. So she said, how much? He said, 10 hundreds. She said, 10 hundreds. He said, 10 hundreds. So she goes back and she gives him 1,000 dirhams. And then he goes out and he's boasting to the Sahaba, I made a payout of her nose. They said, how much? He says, 10 hundreds. They said, 10 hundreds for Kirama bint Abdul Masih? You could have got much more than this. He said, is there anything more than 10 hundreds? So then they go and tell Khalid bin Walid, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, Allah wants something and man wants something, and only that which Allah wants takes place. Allah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, this is the path we're going to take. They take this path with the whole army. The water which, it was midsummer, the water which should have lasted them 5 days, lasted them 3 days. The only thing on their tongue was Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. After 5 days, I don't know the medical term, but he gets this thing because of the rays of the sun that Rafi can no longer see. So after 5 days, they say, when we reach our destination, so he says to them, he said, go and look for two hillocks. So they go forward and they find these two hillocks. He said, at the foot of these two hillocks, you should find a tree. They go there, there's nothing. They come back to him, they say, we found the hillocks, no tree. He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then he said, go again and dig. And at the foot of the hillock, they remove the sand and they find a trunk. And then they begin to dig around the trunk. And then rations mentioned that water came out like a fountain. Like a fountain. So they reach Sham. Sham, they go through Sham. They have a battle, a couple of battles. They take Busra. After Busra, the Ajnadain. And Ajnadain, the Byzantines had gathered an army of 90,000 men. 90,000 men. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the army was a fraction. The battle starts and they begin to annihilate the enemy. You look at the history of Islam, it's amazing. Every single battle, the Muslims were less in number. But they were men of substance. They had the help of Allah. You have one Allah, you have everything. You lose one Allah, you have nothing. The only battle that the Muslims had numbers that Allah mentioned in the Quran was Hunayn. And they got fond of, and they thought because of their numbers they would take the Taif easily. They lost at the Battle of Hunayn. Well, momentarily they lost, they turned it around, but momentarily they lost. See, the help of Allah, Allah doesn't look at your quantity, He looks at quality. And that's why I say, I mean, I know I'm slightly sidetracking. My brothers who are sitting here, alhamdulillah, tomorrow you are going to be the ulama. You know, what will make you function in your community? What will make you have an impact in your community? Don't prepare for when you leave. Prepare now. Make your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Study hard. Be people, you know, who can communicate. The ulama should be the most eloquent of people. They should be the most eloquent of people. You are studying 6 years here. You tell me a doctor who does 5 years who is inarticulate. They are all articulate. They are all confident. And I know, I have a degree. The amount of work that you do in Darulum, I have brothers and sisters who are in my course, in my madrasa, who are doctors, who have PhDs, who are doing the part-time alim course, and they struggle. They say this was more difficult than our doctor degree. But after all that study, why aren't the ulama articulate? Why aren't the ulama confident? Why aren't the ulama, why don't they have leadership qualities? And this is what you need to create here. Make it a wajib upon yourself to learn how to communicate. Read books, study hard. Study hard. Have a zeal that tomorrow that you're going to be a die. Tomorrow you're going to leave a legacy behind you that while you're in your grave, you're lying in the, like Maulana Qasim Sima rahimahullah, lying in his grave. But you know what they say? The best action is that action which outlives your existence. And in Islamic narrative, we call this sadaqah jariyah. Sadaqah jariyah. That we do something behind us. We do something that we're in our graves. We touch somebody's heart. We change somebody's life. You know, we're ummah who was ukhrijat linnas. Not lil mu'min linnas. We have an impact on humanity. And the leaders of the community are the ulama. And you need to show it. You need to show it. Nobody else. Don't judge. You know, one of the biggest objections that why Walid ibn al-Mughira, why Walid ibn al-Mughira should be given the Nabuwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the ayat in the Quran? لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ
رَجُلٍ
مِّنَ الْقَرِيَةِ. Allah said, what they said, that the mushrikeen would say, why did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get this Nabuwa? It should have been given to Walid ibn al-Mughira. Allah records in the Quran, or Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi from Ta'if. One of these two should be given. Why Muhammad? Why? Because these were people of wealth. These were people of wealth. The Prophet ﷺ was a yatim. But Allah does not judge people by their wealth. Shallow people judge people by their wealth. If people were judged by their wealth, then the Messenger of Allah left his dunya and he had 11 patches on his clothes. Abu Bakr had 14 patches on his clothes. Well, nobody will remember you. Wallahi, nobody will remember you for your big houses or your BMs or your Range Rovers. People will remember you for your khayr. And therefore, as ulama, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this izzah, given you. Don't look at the dunya. Don't look at the... You can't have everything in this world. Allah has given you this deen. Superficial people judge people on bricks and mortar. Superficial people. Anybody, you know, a guy comes with a new Range Rover, all of a sudden he's got friends that he didn't know about. What, you respecting a person because of a piece of metal? And you're meant to be the carriers of deen? You know, Muslims have become superficial. So my dear respected brothers, you know, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, I love you for the sake of Allah. You are not only the mihman and the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you are my colleague. This is my madrasa. Yeah, the principal of here is a very close friend of mine. You know, roommate, more than a friend of mine. He's a brother of mine. My colleague. I have a special ta'alluq with you. And my dear respected brother, what Allah has given you is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to refine ourselves. Our character has to be radiant. There is a difference between us and Ali and Muhammad on the street. You are tomorrow's role models. Don't think, oh, I'm only a human being. What you do has an impact. People regard you as the Warathatul Anbiya. And we need to behave like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen. You know, we need to be people who are on the sunnah. We need to be people who are radiant. We need to be people, you know, who are leaders. The Prophet sallallahu, what is a leader? The Prophet sallallahu said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The leader of any nation in the eyes of Allah. In the eyes of Allah is the one who does the khidmah for the people. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu said, the leader of any nation is the khadim. And the only reward which is greater than doing the khidmah of other people is march them in the path of Allah. Khidmah, that's what ulama should be. That's what ulama should be. Never be under this misconception that, you know, you have this title, Mawlana, Sheikh, Allama. You know, people should listen to you. You need to create.